Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon, everybody. Access All Areas is on. Greg is doing his little diary room web chat thing at the moment at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. I did mine about 3:30. Some very strange questions coming in. It's all about you. And behind the scenes at Radio 1 all this week, seeing exactly what goes on. If you want to talk to Greg, get a question in, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Hope you're right today. We're nearly at the end of Monday. Hurrah!
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Becky.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm really good. Where are you?
I'm in Sydney in Australia.
Ah, hence the slightly tired sounding voice.
Yeah, it's very, very early in the morning here. And I've got up specially for you.
Oh, thanks. Now, you've been on touch on email, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've been listening to your podcast while I've been over here because it's sort of the only way I can keep touch of what's going on in England. And I was listening to your stories last week about people that just make up random lies.
Yeah, we were doing this last week, people that just make stuff up and talk nonsense. Who's your one, then?
My auntie used to tell me this story all the time. She used to say that when she was little, she entered a competition to design the Monster Munch monsters from the crisps, and she got to pick all the colours and everything. And she told us this for years, and we never believed her. And then it turns out she was cleaning out my nana's house one day and found a box of stuff in the attic, and it was actually true. She did win a competition to design the Monster Munch monsters.
What?!
I know.
And you'd accuse her of being a big fat liar for years?
Yeah, for about 20 years we said that she was a liar.
And you were like, yeah, of course you did, yeah.
When it's such a random thing to make up, we thought that can't be true.
So what evidence did she find?
It was a letter saying, congratulations, you've won the competition, and then it was like a Monster Munch goodie bag as well that was away in a box in my nan's loft. So either it's true or she's gone to a lot of trouble to make it, look as if it's real.
Yeah. She's even done a letter. That's going to a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And buried it in the attic somewhere.
So the Monster Munch characters look like that because of your aunt?
Exactly, yep.
And they're the same ones as we still see today?
Yep, they are indeed.
That's amazing. And she is not in any way a big fat liar?
Not at all. I'm very sorry if she's listening.
Yeah, you need to apologise. You doubted her for 20 years.
I'm sorry. High five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's even the same noise.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, you know Will Smith. I like him off of films and Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West. But I think that he might be one of those pushy stage school dads. Let's face it, his son has already been in the Karate Kid remake. And now his, daughter, Willow, has got her song out. And she's only 10. It was her birthday yesterday. And what could be better than releasing a new song on your birthday when you're 10? Willow Smith is my new record of the week. Get on the stage! And Whip My Hair is coming next. First, it's Vernon Kay. Hiya.
Hiya, Scott.
You right?
Yes.
Welcome along.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just hoping that I don't become that Will Smith kind of theatre, Sylvia Young type parent.
Yeah.
Darling, if you're going to do those moves, then why not earn a living from them? Get to school.
I can't imagine you being a stage door dad.
No, I can't just wait for Phoebe Brew up.
It's Access All Areas, and Vernon is about to go on the Radio 1 website and have a chat with you. And you can ask any question, is that right?
Yeah, any question. Bring it on.
Any subjects that are off limits?
No! It's free swim.
Okay, good. I'm just asking, because with Taylor Swift, you're not allowed to talk about Kanye West and all that kind of thing.
You can talk about Kanye West and Taylor Swift if you want.
Good. All right.
Yeah, of course you can.
So
bring it on.
Both of those subjects not off limits for you.
You're on Twitter, aren't you, Scott?
I am, yeah.
Have you not... Isn't it good when Kanye West has a rant?
I know, and it normally happens. I don't know what he does on a Saturday afternoon. But it's always on Saturday
have
afternoon.
Have you noticed as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
We can rant.
There
There you go, and we're off.
It is on.
Yeah. I know, love his ranting.
Yeah.
So you're going to be on the webcam at 4:30, right?
Yeah, we'll probably sneak on a little bit earlier, warm up, get the vocal cords going, probably dip into Tim Westwood's studio, see what carnage is causing.
It's been good. All the DJs have been doing this today. Greg's just had a go. Daniel P. Carter off of Rock was on earlier. Sarah Cox has been in. I had a little go. There's some very strange questions.
Really? Oh, yeah, be nice, please.
No, they were nice, be generally. Nice. Just a bit odd. Nice. So it's access all areas.
I saw one that was who would win 100 duck-sized horses or 100 horse-sized ducks.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That wasn't the weirdest thing I got. But it's a shame you can't stay because we're about to play out our brilliant interview with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, which we did on Friday when everyone was a bit overtired. And Becky. Well,
Becky's just told me some of the questions and some of the reaction. And you know what? It sounds like it's Radio Gold, Radio Archive.
It's, I mean, Becky just went temporarily insane. And I would say, I would go as far to say insulted the guests. But you can hear this after 4:30. They've got this show called The Trip on BBC Two, where they just go around to various restaurants in the north of England and have a nice time. And they filmed it and put it on BBC Two.
Are they as themselves, or are they is Rob Brydon as the guy from Gavin and Stacey?
No,
and
they
Steve
are
Coogan
as themselves, but they are as themselves, but there's kind of bits of fiction in it as well. So yeah. So that's coming up after 4:30.
Hang on. Why don't we pitch a show like that, Scott?
I know.
Where you and I go and try the best beaches that the world has to offer. If Brydon and Coogan can get that commissioned,
where they go and eat stuff,
then surely Mills and Kay can go and try some beaches and we can grade the tan that you get on a mark out of 10.
Vernon, I mean, you've just done it. You've put it out there now. The TV commissioners will all be on board with that. Kay and Mills go beaching. Or something.
Yes!
Yeah? What are you thinking, BBC 3?
Yeah, let's go 3.
ITV?
If it does 2. Well on 3, they'll push it to 2.
Yeah, that's good. anyway, so quite the most uncomfortable interview you'll ever hear, coming up with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon.
Radio 1 Podcast.
So the next bit that we're going to play you now, you might want to hold on to something. You know when you watch something on TV or listen to something on the radio and you're like, oh my God, just have something to hold on to, whether it's a sofa or just like a bit of wood like I've got here. Just, you might need to grip it and the grip may get more intense.
It's not that bad, is it?
Let's have a listen. We had Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon in on Friday talking about their new show, The Trip, which is on BBC Two. Now, we were all a bit tired after Friday's morning show. Got up quite early. I know that you get up very early and you were working very hard last week, which may explain why you went mad. So they've come in to chat to us about The Trip, this show. All very nice. So picture the scene, if you will. We're very tired. Becky's gone mental. The interview was absolutely fine, apart from Becky. Seriously, what happened to you? What happened on that day?
Well, I don't know. I think I thought I was going to try and liven it up a bit. But I think I sort of misjudged a situation, maybe.
Yeah, I would say that is true. Now, if anyone is studying interviewing skills, maybe you're doing a media degree at the moment, you might want to take notes here on the right questions to ask and listen intently to the technique here. So, Steve Coogan, Rob Brydon. It all starts absolutely fine. Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon here at Radio 1. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Going well, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't spoken yet.
And it continues pretty well. And we talk about their new show, The Trip. So the idea is that you, Steve, have got a role as a guest restaurant reviewer, right?
We're both playing ourselves in this. It's like we're playing versions of ourselves. So it's a fictional thing, but
it's not a reality.
It's not a reality TV show.
You can't vote us off.
You can't vote us off.
No.
We both play ourselves, and the notion is that I was going to go around the north of England reviewing all these Michelin star restaurants, and as I've been dumped by my girlfriend, I have to ring up Rob Brydon and ask him if he'll come along, which Rob kindly does.
It does look very real, but obviously it's not. But it does look like you're just, you know, almost on a little holiday together.
It looks like they're eavesdropping, but of course they're not. I mean, each episode is a different restaurant or a different hotel with a different meal, and each meal was eaten 3 times. So I think if you watch it and you're thinking, each meal took about 8 hours to shoot, you know, they'd bring out a starter and we'd eat the starter and do our acting, and then they'd bring it out again, and you'd eat it again, and I ended up putting on 8 pounds.
Just from the show?
Yeah, yeah.
God, I wish we'd come up with that idea. That's like the perfect TV show ever. Just eat loads.
Well, you and Vernon have got your beach one in production. Well, yeah. In planning, so.
In planning, yeah. Hmm. If it's got Vernon Kay attached to it, they'll do it, won't they? Hmm. It's all fine.
Definitely.
So, it's still going quite well, I think, at this point. Notice you still haven't spoken yet. we continue.
As I say, it was sort of largely improvised, but there's a sort of structure to each episode, and there's kind of themes that were supposed to develop, and it feels like it's real, but it's...
But it's not.
It's crafted.
You bicker quite a lot on the show, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, they're arguments. Yes. Yeah.
It's funny and sometimes a bit unpleasant.
And they're very competitive with each other, which we're not in real life. I mean, in real life, it's a lot more friendly and sort of relaxed.
And probably not as fun in real life, not quite as funny.
It's a little more dull in real life, you know? We just sit around in front of the fire together exchange pleasantries.
So there's not actually as many jokes when you're together in real life.
Well, of course not, no.
We do make each other laugh occasionally, but only if we have to.
Okay, good. So we are, now you know all about the trip. Still none of you yet. Okay, let's move on.
But Rob and I also, because we sort of know each other and sort of how we work, then we kind of tune into. It's like a game of tennis. You know, if you've got a good opponent, then you can have a good game and get some good rallies going.
That's a good way to describe it for the layman. You're using a sporting analogy.
Indeed, I am. Yeah. Because
am I the other player, or am I carrying your bag with your rackets in? I'm just not clear.
You're Jimmy Connors, I'm John McEnroe.
I'd be happy with that. Do you know what? That's a really good analogy. That's who you would be, John McEnroe. And I would be Jimmy Connors.
I thought you'd have picked some younger, sexier ones.
You've got to realise...
We stopped watching
my sweet love, you're dealing with two 45-year-old men here.
I thought one of you would at least be Nadal.
I'm aware of Rafa, as I call him. And I'm aware of the Jimmy Carr tribute act Roger Federer.
As on Radio 1, we like to reference tennis players that will appeal to 45-year-olds.
Yeah, that's good.
Yvonne Goolagong. I mean,
Billie Jean King.
I think that's one of the dishes they tried on the tour.
Yeah, as a starter.
Yeah. Uh-oh, Becky's arrived.
Well, I just didn't think that anyone...
Right, this is the... And you can hear this. This is the point where it absolutely turns and goes downhill.
Well, you can tell because he calls me sweet love.
Sweet love, my sweet love.
Yeah.
So Becky gets involved. If you're studying media at the moment, this is an interviewing technique which is commonly called insult the guest. And this is how you do it. Becky watched it and was like, oh, it's a bit Top Gear, it's a bit Grumpy Old Men, it's a bit Countryfile.
That's good.
Mixed with Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. Yeah. I think all four feature at some point, don't they?
Yeah. That's
do you know what?
Fair.
You speak for your generation.
Scott said, you can't say grumpy old men. I was like, well, they are.
We're not old, we're middle-aged men.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we're not old.
We're not old. I mean, that's quite an important distinction, you know what I mean. We're not grumpy old men, we're grumpy middle-aged men. We're not old. Let's get that absolutely crystal clear.
Oh, God.
But the people, I still stand by, the people in Grumpy Old Men aren't old, they're just older. And so, on the show, I got the impression that they didn't have much of a laugh.
So you've called the guests old, and now you decide to compare their show with another TV programme. Now, I imagine that Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon would, you know, probably be flattered if you compared their show to something like, I don't know, Curb Your Enthusiasm, something like that, you know? But was it that you compared it to?
No, because I didn't.
Let's find out.
I think it's a bit like The Only Way is Essex.
Some bits
are real, but then other bits are kind of improvised and set up.
Are you aware of this?
No,
this
that's a terrible. I totally disagree with you. It's nothing like that.
Oh, God.
But you could...
Oh, God.
But I was trying to work out how I could explain that they are themselves, but some bits are staged.
Yeah, I know, like, I know what you were trying to do.
In the kind of concept, it is a bit similar to Only Way is Essex.
Anyway, so you've annoyed Steve Coogan, insulted him and then annoyed him. And now... Poor Rob Brydon is steps in to try and keep the peace and diffuse this situation.
I think work experience is a good thing, and I think the fact you're doing this for her is great. Yeah, and it's given her a chance to see how these things
it's
work.
It's nothing like that. What Essex
have you
thing.
Seen that one, Rob?
Yeah, it's that's actually
that's Steve.
I know that's Steve. I was asking
that's,
both of them.
That's quite interesting. I've someone told me about it and told it I should watch it. It's very interesting. Have you seen it?
I've not managed to catch
it's
it.
It's a very strange thing because they're real people, but some of it is staged for entertainment.
Well, a bit like Pineapple Dance Studio.
Yeah, but hang on a second. We're not here to talk about that program. We're also here to talk about our program. But anyway,
He's made a good point, Scott.
Yeah.
All right, so, like, we've upset him enough for it. Well, you have. So, I try and move the conversation on without insulting the guest anymore.
That's what happened when Mariah Carey came in. Do you remember?
What?
She got all moody because we started talking about something else.
Let's
and then
move on.
Well, as well she might, as well she should.
You know, there's only so many hours in the day, and we're not here to big up other people.
All right, so you've just compared Steve Coogan to Mariah Carey now, the world's biggest diva. What the hell? It's okay, because I'm here to step in and save the day. So, how many parts is the trip?
Six parts.
Okay, very good.
Simple question, very easy answer. Yeah.
That was probably one of the best questions you've ever asked, I think.
Now you're insulting me! This couldn't have gone any more wrong.
I was just trying to lighten it up a bit.
That's the best question you've ever asked.
That was a rubbish question, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite bad. Oh, God. Anyway, it's fine. And I just want to point out that normally, Becky, you are normally a very nice person. And if any potential guests are listening, she was very tired and she was just trying to lighten it up a bit. Anyway, I think we're back on track because I have still got my Alan Partridge question to move on to. Steve, you've reprised Alan Partridge, haven't you?
There are Alan Partridge websites starting on the 5th of November. Mid-morning matters with Alan Partridge.
Aren't you on digital now?
It's North Norfolk Digital he's
Amazing.
Now on.
Yeah.
He's works for North Norfolk Digital.
Yeah.
And he's in a radio studio, a little bit smaller than this, not quite as well appointed. And and it's all set in the radio studio. Very excited about them. And they won't be on television. They'll just be on the interweb.
Mm. When do they launch, Steve?
How many parts?
Yeah.
November the 5th, and there are 12 parts.
Right, OK, I think we're back on track now. It's all fine. So let's talk to Rob about Gavin and Stacey. With you, Rob.
I was going to quickly just ask about Alan Partridge's hair, because Steve...
No! Oh, God!
No, let me explain why.
No!
In the trip, Steve has longer curly hair, like just below his ears, and I was trying to work out whether that would be reflected in Alan Partridge at the moment or whether he wore a wig.
This is stressing me out.
I was going to quickly just ask about Alan Partridge's hair, because Steve, you've grown your hair. Does that mean Alan's gone a bit...
No, because rather cleverly, as Alan Partridge, I wear a wig.
Oh.
You see, that's right.
Oh, I just wondered if he was going through another one of his bad patches. Not that your hair is bad.
Feel the silence.
Oh, my God.
No, but if he didn't forget to cut it or whatever.
Good. No, because as I say, like I said, I wear a wig.
It's a wig.
Yeah. Okay, that's cleared up. Move on.
Rob.
Right.
God.
Don't worry, there's not much more to go. No, it's fine, it's fine.
But I think people would want to know about Alan and what was going on in his life at the moment.
Don't worry, I'll just ask my break glass for emergency Gavin and Stacey question and let's get the hell out of here. Can I ask you about Gavin and Stacey? What's happening with that?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
Because we just read something online they're going to do some kind of film.
Oh, there we are. Well, all right. A film, then. I don't know. As far as I'm aware, it's all finished and dusted.
It's all over.
Maybe they're doing the film without you.
Maybe this is where I find out that Ben Miller is playing Uncle Bryn. I don't know. I'm not.
That's not a bad idea.
No, it could only be an improvement, let's be honest.
No, it couldn't, but it's comparable.
And now listen to the final words from Steve and Rob. Thank you very much, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Feel like I should take responsibility for that, Scott.
That's all right.
I won't be involved in any other interviews.
Just very tired.
But if you want to watch the show, you can watch it on BBC Two tonight at 10 o'clock, and it's called The Trip.
And it is very good. And thank you very much to Steve and to Rob. It's nearly 5 to 5 on BBC Radio 1. Don't worry, stop holding on to whatever you were holding on to now. It's all over.
Radio 1 podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Thought Rihanna was ace on X Factor last night with a massive food fight doing that song.
Oh my God, I didn't see it.
Oh, I was in the audience last night, so I got to see it. It was incredible. So good. I didn't have a banner, no. What saying? Go, Rihanna. No, I didn't. Go, Riri.
Were you on her personal guest list or just happened to
No.
be there? Well, I thought you two were mates now.
I was on Extra Factor. I did have a chat with her after, as you do. She was chatting to The Wanted for ages. It's weird, The X Factor. I was saying this on Twitter last night. Where else could you find, like, Wagner and the Wanted and Rihanna all having a chat in a corridor. Only there.
I'm really annoyed you didn't wear your Riri's Got the X Factor t-shirt.
I know.
Because that would have been good. And it seems a waste. You wear it in here like twice a week and then you go on the show and you forget it.
With a picture of her face on.
Yeah.
No, I didn't want to wear that. Anyway, the food fight, it was stressing me out last night because after she'd finished her performance and all the food's all over the stage, and there's a lot of food on the stage. I don't know what it looked like on TV, but in there, it's like, oh my God, they've got a lot to clear up. And they go to an ad break, at which point a team of about 30 blokes come onto the stage and just start sweeping all this food off. But I'm thinking, they're not going to get this off in time. And I'm like, you know when you're going through it with somebody else, you're like, oh my God, they're not going to do it. And then it was like, 30 seconds till we're back. And there was nowhere near the amount of food that had been cleared off that should have been at all. And I was like, they're not going to do this. Really stressing me out. And then it was like, 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2. I'm thinking, Dermot's going to break his neck here. There's still food on the stage. They haven't cleared all of it off.
Did you have to go up and eat some just to help them out?
It was only the right thing to do, I think. No.
I'd love to have it.
I'll have
you
that cake.
You cut back to X Factor and you're lying down licking some cream off the X Factor stage with Dermot in front of you.
It's like, been on the floor
Scott,
for...
what are you doing there?
It's the 30-second rule. Still fine. You can still have it on. off the floor, as it were. Good. Now, I've got a caller here. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Hello, it's Jessica.
All right, Jessica, what's going on?
Nothing much. I was just a little bit confused about One Direction's performance on Saturday night.
One Direction's performance?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just reminded me of Wing and Michael Bublé and their little rendition of Total Eclipse of the Heart. And yeah. I just couldn't concentrate that much.
Yeah, well, let's hear. This is One Direction from Saturday Night doing their performance on X Factor. Turn around, every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you never come around. Turn around, every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears. Now, is that a coincidence? I don't think so.
Was it Wing Week?
It wasn't Wing Week, no.
Oh.
They need to do that. But what are the chances of that? So One Direction decided to do Total Eclipse of the Heart. What happened on the Chris Moore show with us last week? Bublé and Wing.
Exactly.
Now, what happened there? Do you think they listened to the show? Do you think that Bublé maybe called One Direction? Because he's friends with all the X Factor contestants.
Yeah,
and went,
exactly.
Hi, guys. It's Michael Bublé here. Maybe you should do Total Eclipse of the Heart. Because I performed it so well earlier in the week on Radio 1 with Wing. Turn
around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the song of my dear.
You can see a video of Bublé doing his bit on this song at bbc.co.uk/radio1 on the Scott Mills pages. He really got into it.
Turn around, right,
I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in
turn
your
around,
eyes.
Right,
every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around.
It's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it, Jessica? Do you think?
It's just like, I love One Direction, but the song was just ruined for me ever since Wing sung it, and then that's it, that's in my head, so no one else can sing it now apart from me and Michael Bublé.
Exactly.
Is it wrong that I want them to sing that at my wedding, like first dance?
You're getting married?
No, I'm planning ahead. Would you fly them back over for me, Scott, Bublé and Wing, to do that for me? He's only off of Canada, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's not...
I'll fly Wing over again. That's not a problem. I don't think Michael Bublé will be happy with the indirect flight in economy.
You're going to send him via Prague or something.
This is Scott Mills.
And now let's go highbrow on Stupid Street. Today, we're talking politics. A question today on Stupid Street. Who is the sexiest politician? remember, you're playing for Scott Mills points here. Who do you think? Who's hot in the world of politics? Who do you think? Who do you like?
Me personally, or who are they going to say on Stupid Street?
You first.
Because I personally like Eric Pickles.
Okay. Sorry, I took coffee in at the wrong time then.
You shouldn't be drinking when you're doing the other link. If you don't know who he is, you need to Google him.
Google Pickles.
I think, I don't know how many people actually know who he is though, so.
They will now.
Nick Clegg, maybe?
Yeah. Kind of.
Or the two of my favourites are Michael Portillo and Diane Abbott because they're on This Week.
Yes,
like, do you know that show that's always on when you come back in from the pub?
Yes.
And you're like, well, you two sat a bit close to each other on the sofa, but I quite like you because they're kind of like politicians that have a laugh, so I love those two.
So have a think at home, or if you're on your way home, I'll give you a Scott Mills point if you can guess any of what Stupid Street said sexiest politician-wise. Okay, let's do it. Here's the first one.
Who do you think is the sexiest politician that you can think of?
Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown?
Yeah.
You think he's hot?
Yeah.
What about him is making it sexy for you?
Does he wear glasses?
No, I don't think he does wear glasses, no. No.
His hair. His hair, yeah.
His hair?
His hair.
You just ask if he has hair? Okay, exactly, because that's the only politician you can think of.
Is he even a politician?
Good. So, does he have glasses? Does he have hair? Is he even a politician? That's Gordon Brown there, everybody. Now, do you remember, this is Stupid Street.
Who is the sexiest politician?
Politician, like...
I didn't study politics, so I'm not really on the ball.
There aren't any female politicians I can think of.
So he can't answer because there aren't any female politicians.
A lot of people are loving Theresa May on the text.
Are they? Mm. Oh, yeah, she's getting loads of votes. So he can't name a sexy female politician. Don't worry, though, because this guy can.
I'm not much into politics, but Sarah Palin. Ooh.
What was that noise?
Sarah Palin.
Ooh. Sarah Palin. Ooh.
She is quite...
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
There's something a bit dirty about her.
I think it's the sexy secretary glasses.
Yeah, you know... You just
he
know
did
that
actually
she
just
would...
say that.
Sorry. There is, though. You just think, God. Bet she knows some dirty jokes. Do you know what I mean? Okay, let's move on. Who's the sexiest politician on Stupid Street?
Who do you think is the sexiest politician?
Nick Clegg, definitely.
What was that?
He was kissing. That's a kissing noise.
Nick Clegg, definitely.
Was he imagining kissing Nick Clegg then? Nick's popular, by the way. If you said Nick Clegg and you're doing well, you can get a Scott Mills point for that. They like him a lot.
Nick Clegg.
Nick Clegg's not that bad. He's just a bit of a... But, like, to look at, he's all right.
A bit of a what? Now listen to this girl.
Who is the sexiest politician? Tony Blair. Gotta be Tony Blair. He just has that sense of power to him. Gotta love Tony Blair.
God, she loves him. I think at that point she's rubbing her legs off of Vic Reeves. Tony Blair.
Tony Blair. Gotta be Tony Blair. He just has that sense of power to him. Gotta love Tony Blair.
Okay. And finally.
On a good day, David Cameron's decent, but yeah, obviously.
Can you think of any lady politicians?
I only know that one, Diana Abbott or something like that, yeah. But I would just say she's sexy though, so.
David Cameron, I'm sorry, and it's sad, but it's David Cameron.
So why David Cameron? Just because he's hot?
Well, he's not really, but it's that kind of. I'm that kind of age, so why not?
What? Well, hang on a second, rewind.
I'm that kind of age, so why not?
So what age is it when you go, oh no, not really hot at all, but why not?
I don't know, but I haven't reached it yet.
That's going to happen to you at some point. If you were that lady on Stupid Street...
I'm that kind of age, so why not?
Could you text us and let us know what age you are? Because at some point, you think, no, they're not hot at all, but why not? It's going to happen to you.
What? Oh.
Why not? Not that you'd ever been why not with Pickles.
No, he's got it. And loads of people are reminding me of when Tony Blair was Torso of the Week.
Oh, God, he was as well.
So that makes him officially fit.
Yeah.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Now, we were talking last week, weren't we, about the things that only happen in cartoons but do actually happen in real life, like the person that slipped on a banana skin. She went bowling, Connie did recently, and the bowling ball, the holes were a bit too big for her fingers. So she's lining up her shot, pulls her arm back, and because of the holes, it flies backwards. The ball, which only does happen in cartoons normally.
Oh, and
the
then it...
The ball flies out behind her and hits a rather large woman that really wasn't expecting it. Her words, not mine. Well, only happens in cartoons.
More just soften the blow, maybe.
Connie has been watching Psychic Sally on the road. You know Sally Morgan? Love her.
I've never seen her.
You've never seen Sally Morgan? Oh, my God, you're missing out. She was the woman that told me I was going to be doing the lottery on one of her
shows.
Was
this once you'd already started doing it?
Yeah. But she's good. All right, darling, Sally Morgan. Really good. And Connie points out that on the show, Sally Morgan's husband sounds a bit like Lord Alan Sugar off The Apprentice. Shall we compare?
Mm.
So here's Sally's husband.
The team fall over because I'm heavy.
Right. And here's Lord Sugar.
The Battle of Old Compton Street.
I'm not hearing it so far. Here's Sally's husband again.
This is the most boring 2.5 hours of my life. Every town I go in, I'm sitting outside a hairdresser.
Oh, I can hear it now.
In the past few weeks, some of the stuff I've heard coming out your mouth is a lot of hot air. So in the interest of climate change and thinking about the glaciers, just make sure you think before you talk.
Sally's husband.
I'm back on the road again pretty soon. And the year just whizzes round from one month to the other. Not sure where we are after time.
Alan Sugar.
You still find it hard to control your mouth sometimes in front of other people, which is something that I cannot accept at all.
What are you saying?
I do think they sound the same, and the sort of things they're saying as well could be interchanged.
She loves it when people come up to her and say, oh, you're Fern, you're Sally and John's daughter, I've seen you on telly, etc. She loves that bit.
Do they really say that?
But she's not a kindergarten.
Same.
I think they do sound the same, yeah.
Thanks for pointing that out, Connie. I'm sorry to hear about your comedy cartoon style incident with the bowling ball.
Oh, I really want to go. So can you go and see old Sal on the road then?
Oh, yeah. It's just like a circuit rogue show.
Really want to go to that.
Yeah. Danielle, on the way home to Telford, has been to see Sally live. She said it was incredible.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.